You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Wednesday, so it's time for Wayne on Wednesday. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg. Here we are, Wayne. Let me look at my screen here. It's the 25th of September 2024, just a few days away from the fourth quarter, the final quarter of 2024. And I look back, I look at my screen and I see the JSE close to 86,000, the S&P close to 5,800, and things are actually looking set fair for the final 3 months of the year, except for one thing, and that is the small matter of the US election in early November, the first week in November. Does that worry you at all?
It can bring a surprise, obviously, but every indication now is that Vice President Harris is going to win, and I think that would be market friendly.
You think so?
Yes.
I want her to win. I'm unashamedly anti-Trump. I'm not particularly pro her because I don't think she's up for the job, but she'll put a team around her that will make the job easier for her. But I don't know if market participants will look at her and say, that's it, we've got to keep on buying.
Look, she probably won't disturb the cart, the apple cart, whereas Trump has the possibility of really disturbing everything with sanctions and tariffs and we all know the story. We've spoken about him before.
We have done, yeah. And we don't need to do so. I'm not going to ask you about your politics. I, on the other hand, don't have a reputation to maintain, so I will say I can't stand the fellow. And the fact that he's even running is astonishing to me. But the markets themselves, Wayne, I look at the dollar at euro dollar at 112, and I look at the gold price, it's not close to 2,500 anymore, 2,600. It's getting closer to $2,700 per ounce. And the white metal price is also doing well. So yeah, going into the final quarter, if you take out the election factor, I would have thought that you are saying, I've had a few bumps in 2024. I'm feeling rather good about the next 3 months.
Yeah, look, you could ignore the election and hope that that doesn't cause any disruptions. At long last, we seem to be in the last week or two and maybe for the residual of this year and carrying on in the long-awaited upcycle on the back of lower interest rates.
Yeah.
And you can see today China announced a massive stimulus package to essentially sort out debt. They're going to stand behind all of their municipalities and regional authority debt and a few other issues. And apparently this is the biggest stimulus package ever announced by China. So the mining shares are flying.
Fantastic.
I mean, Anglo's is up 8%, Billiton's up 6%, Kumba's up 8%. I mean, they are just flying. The platinum shares aren't going up nearly the same, but you know, honestly, what a difference a day makes. And the Rand's trading at 17.15.
Yes, and I was going to mention that, actually, but now you brought it up, you've given me an in. I've got my foot in the door now, because last week, this time last week, you said, and you were very proud of yourself, and why shouldn't you be? You said that the fair value for the Rand, and you'd said it 2 or 3 months before, you said it should be 17.50 when people were saying, well, it should be 20.50, and it was 19.20 at the time, or something, whatever it is. The semantics need not detain us. But anyway, it was 17.50. And we both said that, well, you know, with the Rand, it overshoots to the upside and to the downside. It's not overshooting, but it's closer to 17 is 17.50, which is excellent, I think.
Yeah, no, look, it certainly is. And, you know, I mean, I don't know where it's going to go to, but it could. I mean, this could go to 16.50. I mean, it's moving so quickly.
Yes. You
know, it'll always anticipate. Markets will always anticipate up and downside. So, you know, when you look at the Rand, and I mean, we can come and talk about this later on as well.
Mm.
I mean, all of a sudden, the Rand has just, quite frankly, in the last, well, you know, it comes from 1920 in May.
Right.
to 17.15. I mean, that's an extraordinary run on the Rand. And the Rand does this both ways. We all know that.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting is that our share market, the good old-fashioned all-share index, is up 24% in dollar terms in the last six months, and the S&P 500 is up 10% in dollar terms.
Yeah, everything has its day. Every dog has its day.
As we've been discussing for a long time now, this dog's day was overdue.
Yes.
Seems to be with us.
Yeah, well, that's very good. And the people that were patient, the deep value investors, and the people that said, no, forget about NVIDIA and AI stocks and everything else, don't forget about them. But one day we will recorrect at some point. Whether it lasts or not, we don't know. But there has to be a rebalancing, and the rebalancing is occurring. Will it go further? Well, that's for you to tell us, Wayne.
I think there's still more to go. I don't know, if the Rand hits 680, 650 or somewhere around there, then you must take money overseas.
You said that last week.
Because then at long last, you're getting decent, half-decent value for the old Rand. You know, it's certainly better than 1930, you know, somewhere around 17. So that's all very, very good news. And the mining shares, I mean, they've only just if I'm right, they've only just started to run.
Yeah.
You know, let's take Anglo's for an example. That's up 8% today, but you know, it's still down from 800 rand, and it's now 520 rand. You know, so there's still a lot that, you know, you could get a lot more appreciation. You know, it could go another 20-30% from this level, if not more,
easily.
And the platinum shares can double easily.
And there's also the spectre of corporate activity in whatever form it takes, because that can happen, especially when people like you say, wait a second, commodities are going to go on a run here. And when commodities and currencies, or whatever it is, those two particular asset classes, when they go on a run, they run. And it's not just for two or three months, it's for two or three years.
They can run for a sustained time period, yeah. But look, let's just hope it is, because all of this is good news for South Africa.
Yes.
I mean, the stronger rand, no matter which way you look at it, is good news for South Africa. I know it does affect inbound tourism, but you can still get a very cheap holiday here, even with the rand at 17, if you're an overseas person. It's still cheap. It's not as cheap as 19, but it's still cheap.
I tell you what.
And even though
An all-black supporter could come to the hotel that you favour in the south of Johannesburg, near to Ellis Park, and still get at least three times his or her money for what they would get in Auckland or Wellington or something. So it's all relative, Wayne.
Yeah. Now look, there's no question about that. They would definitely get really good value for money. The prospects look fair. I mean, I know it's taken almost a year since I started really banging this drum of commodities and stuff. And there's still certainly in the platinum shares a lot of catching up to do. But I think it actually has turned now. You know, and we must just remember that this is all just part of a cycle.
Yes.
No, because you can get so caught up in the upside and the downside that you think it's never going to end. So at some stage in the future, maybe 6 months, maybe longer, I don't know, you must then sell your commodity shares and take money overseas. And at this rate, I mean, the Rand is absolutely flying. People just can't get enough of it. I mean, this thing could be 1680 next week.
It could easily be
flying.
It's only 40 basis points, you know, 1720 to 1680, 40 basis points. I'm going to ask you a technical question about the Rand now before we get on to false starts, which I've just scribbled on my pad here. You talk about getting your money out. How do you do that? You do it via the equity market? How do you, as a portfolio manager at a giant financial institution, How do you do that? Do you get your money out via a derivatives market, the currency market, or do you just do it by buying overseas stocks? What do you do?
We've got asset managers overseas that manage our money. I mean, our own guys.
Yes.
That manage our money, and we've got, you know, the overwhelming majority of our money. They actually got permission either via the Prudential guidelines, or each individual, if we're managing an individual's portfolio, actually gets permission from SARS on their global allowance to physically take money offshore. So we physically take money offshore. However, people must not be scared about this. You can get, quite frankly, as much overseas exposure as you want to without having to worry about foreign exchange controls in South Africa. There's so many products that are listed on our market, that are available on our market, that track overseas funds. If you want non-rand exposure, you can get 100% of your portfolio. Unfortunately, it pays out in rands. It doesn't pay out in dollars in New York. But if you want rand protection and the rand collapses, you know, you want more rand. So you've got overseas exposure. There are so many products. Every financial services company gives you a global balance fund or a global equity fund or an S&P 500 tracker or a NASDAQ tracker, you know, and they're listed on the ETF on our stock exchange. You know, so you can get as much global exposure as you want to without actually physically taking money offshore. And I know certainly FNB, you can open up a global account where as long as you within your allowances each year, you can buy yourself pounds or dollars, physically buy them. You can't get paid out in London, but you can buy the dollars and the pounds or the yen or the euro, whatever you want to, and get that exposure. So, you know, once again, I know it's been a very, very short while, and as you said correctly, I think, these things don't last a week or a day.
No, they go on and on.
The cycle turns and turns.
Yeah.
So maybe there is a lot more to go. Maybe 1680, maybe 1650 is being far too conservative. Simply don't know. But what I do know is if the rand goes below 17 or 1680, it enters expensive territory. Now, I know that sounds unbelievable for the rand that it's actually too expensive. Every single time it's gone onto the expensive side, it's gone from expensive to very expensive. So that's what I'm saying. Maybe 680 or 650 is just being far too conservative on all of this. But, well, I can just say it again. Thank goodness.
I'm scribbling here. False starts, Wayne. When Anglo-American made their announcement regarding Anglo-American Platinum 2 weeks ago, the share price went down to 515 Rand per share.
5.5, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where it is now, but you'll tell me while
6.30.
Oh, what a move. I mean, there was a giveaway. I mean, that was a free hit, wasn't it? My goodness me.
Yeah.
From 5.15 to 6.30. I mean, you could close your portfolio now if you'd put everything into your portfolio and say, I've achieved this percentage for the year. But of course, that's just fanciful. But I get the feeling this is not a full start. There's been a few full starts since you started banging on, as you put it earlier on about it. There's been a few full starts. This is real, though, isn't it?
They have been cut.
Yeah.
Inflation is under control. Look, we had the first false start in December last year when the Fed mentioned pivot. But then inflation didn't behave. The labor market didn't do as expected.
Right.
And then we had another false start in March sometime, and there was maybe even another one in July or something. So we've had three false starts, but it is now on us.
Yes, it is. And you know what, Wayne, I mean, I'm a sensitive fellow. And occasionally when I've spoken to you, you've sounded a bit down about things. And I thought, well, you know, I know Wayne well enough now to know that he may sound a little bit depressed at the moment. But on the other hand, he has a view and he's stoic in his views. and he'll stick with it, and eventually he will do well. And when he does well, he'll do well, as I said, for 2-3 years, just like the commodity cycle does well for 2 or 3 years. So that's good. I think that, the next 3 months, barring catastrophes, is going to be pretty good. Now then.
Well, let's hope so. But just one remark on that.
Yes.
I actually don't like commodity shares. I think they're terrible shares. They should not form a permanent part of your portfolio. They're way too volatile. But if you get it right, you can make a lot of money. But then you must get out.
Yeah. Know when to sell as well as when to buy, in other words.
Yeah.
Yeah, selling is often the most difficult part, actually.
Yes.
I think. Okay, good. But anyway, let's forget about that now. We'll look forward to the next 3 months and end of year and everything, where you will be sitting and brying and everything and talking about that. There was a day off on Tuesday, yesterday, in South Africa, and that was all, and people have called it Bri Day, I think it is. I've forgotten.
Your National Bri Day.
Exactly.
Heritage Day.
What did you do?
We had a bri.
It's not exactly the most original thing ever, but yes, okay. I was trying to get that out.
The weather wasn't that great yesterday. It was a bit chilly, eh?
Mm, okay. Well, that's
good. I'm sure you heard about the snowfalls KZN on Saturday. I mean, there were a couple of thousand cars stuck on the N3 to Durban.
Van Rennen's Pass or something. What was
they
it?
Couldn't move.
Oh,
I mean,
well.
It was absolutely astonishing. So this was the sort of like a tail end of that cold front. So it wasn't the best day for brying, but it was Heritage Day, so I suppose you've got to bry.
Yes, of course.
And, we had a lovely rack of lamb that I slow-cooked under the Weber.
Mm.
Delicious, absolutely delicious. We had some boerewors as well, as you would.
Mm.
At a braai place, and then the world's biggest rugby fan fried up some potato rosties, and they were super crispy. And then we had vegetables with it as well, and it was totally delicious.
Okay, you just mentioned the word Weber. Now, this is the conundrum that I have at the moment, Wayne. I watch some cooking programs, and there's one particular fellow called Marcus Waring who has this lovely braai in his garden, but it's a basic one. You know, it's a tray where you put your Camille Döring or your coals or whatever it is, and just a normal grill thing on the top, and you do it like that. There's something in the Netherlands, in Europe actually, that is very popular. It's called a green egg, and it's very fancy. You can do all sorts of different things, and I look at it and I think I'd get confused. Are you a simple braai person or a complicated braai person when it comes to the equipment itself?
I'm simple. I've got a Weber 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
I just use it as an ordinary braai place. Just
exactly.
Put the coals underneath and you turn the chop and the steak and the boerewors on top. But this one, the rack of lamb,
yeah,
I cooked with the lid on.
And you've got
the vents open, everything, obviously.
Yeah. But you've got that little thing that allows the air to come in, and you have to face that towards the prevailing wind, don't you?
Yeah. Well,
I think.
And it comes out nicely because you get a slower cook.
Mm.
But I only use that for like the rack of lamb or a big rump. If I'm just doing an ordinary rump steak. But I must tell you another braai story. We went out to your friends on Saturday. They've got a farm sort of near Kusele Power Station. They've got a farm out.
Isn't that any hard to be a sport or something?
No, it's completely the other side.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's sort of like it's Witbank area.
Okay.
And one of the chaps, there were quite a few of us there. One of the guys who came along, he brought the Saturday night braai, and he had gone to a butcher and he had got steak there.
Yeah.
That must have been, without any exaggeration, 40 to 45 millimeters thick.
That's thick.
It's thick. And when I saw this, I thought, no, hang on. How do you cook something this thick? And he said to everyone, medium rare. People said yes. And he put a bit of olive oil on the outside of the steak.
Mm-hmm.
And he had it quite high above the flames. And he turned it often. and it came out absolutely perfectly. I must say, I was quite astonished. I've never cooked a steak that thick. You know, normally my steaks are, I don't know, 20 mils, not 40, 50 mils.
Oh, you see, that is admirable. I mean, it's like you're in Texas or something like that, or Argentina, yeah. And you get those sort of size steaks. But that's brave, especially with other people. You're doing it on your own with your partner or something.
Yeah.
But with a lot of other people, he must have been a very confident fellow, and he must have been very confident with his butcher.
I think he's bribed more than once in his life. I think he's bribed more than once. And then just a very small side comment. Mm. One of the ladies there brought the most delicious potato salad I've ever had in my life.
What was in it? Apart from the potatoes and the mayonnaise, please tell me, were there any secret ingredients?
There was a little bit of onion in there, a couple of herbs and things. Mm-hmm. But there were two key issues here. It wasn't smothered in mayonnaise.
No.
There was enough mayonnaise, but it wasn't smothered in mayonnaise. There was no oil mixed in with the mayonnaise, you know, extra oil mixed in. And the potatoes were cooked just right. You know, they were not soft. They had quite a nice bit of texture to them. It was truly delicious.
You know,
then we had biltong and we had chippies and we had garlic bread. And, you know, it was a real farm sort of weekend. It was very nice. It was cold. It was very nice.
Well, next week, Wayne, because I don't want to overdo the food thing this week, but next week I've got something very serious to ask you, and that is, you know, the program Desert Island Discs, where a famous person is interviewed on BBC Radio, and, you know, if you had to go to a desert island, which music would you take with you? I'm going for desert island dishes now, and specifically meat, and I need you to think about it over the next seven days, about whether it's... If you had to have one particular meat, would it be pork, beef, lamb, chicken? I know it wouldn't be venison or game because you don't like that so much.
I don't like it.
No, exactly. So of those four, which would you have? And the reason I say that is because I'm having pork chop with butter, olive oil and fennel seeds this evening.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
It is delicious. It's totally delicious. But, you know, some people get offended when you have pork. So I want you to consider this over the next few days.
I will give it some thought.
So some serious thought as well, because it's terribly important. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg, and that was Wayne on Wednesday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organisation, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.